We are going to continue, though we're shifting gears, what we started talking about in Sunday school. If you were unable to be here or you were in class or whatever, just go to newvisionbaptistchurch.org, click Sermon Archives, and sometime, probably tomorrow, it might not be tomorrow because we've got things going on, but I think I'll be able to get it up beforehand. But anyway, you can click on it and listen to it, because Sunday school and this hour kind of go together. The title of this message in the church hour is America Under God's Judgment. Is America under God's judgment? And we spent a lot of time looking at the decline of our nation regarding biblical things. I mean, there are a lot of other things we could talk about that contribute to the decline of our nation that are not direct violations of the Word of God. What I'm concerned about more than anything this morning is to point out what has got us to this point, where it appears that God may have taken his hand of blessing in a lot of ways off of our nation. We're still greatly blessed. Common grace is still, even for the lost, they enjoy the rain and the sunshine and the bountiful crops, et cetera, et cetera. But I'd like to start out this morning talking about the absence of truth in our society today. It's amazing to me how many of the what do you call them? Not media companies, but like what's Facebook called? Social media platforms that have been used to cancel people that disagree with a particular political party. And the reason that's happening more and more and more and more is because the truth is no longer popular. You know, people have always lied. I mean, come on. It's not a new thing. People have lied to get ahead. People have lied to get out of trouble. People have lied because they lie. Satan's the father of all lies. And the Bible says that before we're saved, we are actually children of the evil one. We're children of Satan. Christ himself said it in John 8:44. But there's something different about today. Lying is out of control. Deception is out of control. And lying used to be kind of, you know, the devil is that subtle, sneaky, little liar. You know, he's the father of all lies. But now lying is blatant and outward and unapologetic. People aren't ashamed to talk about their deception. Life, though, is all about the truth. It's an important reality. We're saved from hell by believing and receiving the truth of the gospel. The truth sanctifies us for God's purposes. We get strength from the truth. We're edified by truth. We're comforted by the truth. We're encouraged by divine truth. The Bible, in the person of Christ, person of the Holy Spirit, lives in us, the saved. And, of course, the written word of God as well. But we live in a post-truth world. 20 or 30 years ago, that wasn't so. Maybe 20 years. A few decades ago, truth seemed to matter to people, but now lies and deception rule the day. Lies have reached epic proportions, so that if I tell you I'm a woman, you're supposed to believe me. Because I put a dress on, it's a makeup. You're supposed to believe me. And if you don't believe me, then you're the bad person. You're the one that's the hater. It's part of being in a post-truth world. We've been told that it's all right for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. That's okay because that's what society says. But that's deception. That's a big lie. And the only reason that is true today is because we live in a post-truth world. People believe lies like they never have before. When COVID hit, and we were told, get the shot. Remember that? Get the shot. Get the shot. Everything was shut down. Get the shot. Oh, by the way, you need a booster. Oh, by the way, you need another booster. Oh, by the way, you need another one. And we were told by the President of the United States how evil we are if we don't get the shot. And we should be ashamed of ourselves, and I'm paraphrasing, because we're going to give it to other people, and that's just an awful thing. You're an awful person. You're an awful human being. You didn't get the shot. You could spread it. And they found out later that was all a lie, and I think they knew it from the beginning because it turns out the shot didn't stop the spread, did it? It didn't even stop a person from getting it. And then we were told to wear a mask. I was at the store the other day. There was a couple. Normally it's just one, but both had masks on. And I don't know, maybe they had some other illness or whatever, or they were susceptible to the illness. I don't want to judge them. But there are people still that think that wearing a mask is going to stop COVID. It does not stop the virus. It's too small. It goes right through the mask. And we were lied to and said that we had to wear a mask. At first they said, no, you don't need a mask. And then we need a mask. And then you need two masks. And then you need to cover your head with a sheet and wrap it. No, I'm just kidding. But lies and deception and... And if you didn't buy into that, you got canceled. If you're on Facebook, which I wouldn't be on Fakebook, it's the last place on earth, but if you're on Fakebook, you got canceled because you went against the liars at the top. And it happens still every day for different. If you disagree with them, that means you're the liar and they're the truth teller because they said it. And so it's got to be true. And the media backs them up. We live in a sad state of affairs. And I talked about a lot of the biblical. We're gonna get into Romans here in a bit, but this morning I covered some of the sins that are haunting our nation. The world doesn't care to cover its wickedness anymore. Most perversions are acceptable. The truth doesn't seem to matter anymore. Most don't want to hear the truth. Why? Because they're offended by it. Why? Because it points out where they're wrong, and they don't want to hear where they're wrong. And of course, the devil's behind it all. So if they're going to live in their select categories of lies like LGBTQ, etc., and deceit and untruths, then they don't want to hear the truth. And when you think about what I just said, that's insanity. Not what I said regarding what they do. I'm talking about what they do and how they'll stand for a lie and fight to the death for a lie. That's insanity. Fixed truth rules the universe. If I go to the top of the Empire State Building and jump off, what's going to happen? Yeah, it's not going to be that long before the ground causes me to have a very abrupt stop. Wouldn't be the fall that killed me. It would be the abrupt stop at the end. What law is that that tells me that if I jump off the Empire State Building, I'm going to splat? Yeah, it's the law of God. You know, there are laws of nature. If you're an engineer, there are certain laws that hold to be true that an engineer wouldn't think about trying to change. You know, the ones that say that math is racist, so 2 + 2 could actually be 5. That's actually being said. That's actually, people are serious about that. When I was in the machine shop and I had to machine parts sometimes within tenths of a thousandth of an inch, I sort of had to trust that math wasn't racist. Because if you, for instance, if you machine a car engine, I didn't do automotive stuff, but if you had to bore out the cylinders, does it matter whether it's accurate or not? really? I mean, seriously, does it really matter? And when you got to place the race of a bearing down into an engine block, does it really matter whether it fits tight? Nah. No, we know that doctors, there are certain things, and I mean, all kinds. Airplane pilot, does it really matter if they're that accurate? Come on, really, seriously, does it matter? Or if you're going up into space, it, you know, hey, come on. A few degrees here, a few degrees there. No, of course, we know that truth matters to a whole lot of people. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to violating spiritual laws and spiritual truth, because the results of ignoring them are not often immediate, folks tend to think, well, it really doesn't matter. I just have to worry about the physical. I don't have to think about the spiritual. So I can do anything I want. If I want to be a man and I'm a woman, I can do that. Or if I want to lie with a man, I can do that, because there are no immediate consequences in most cases. Someone can live for 30 years with another man. Right? And so many think it must be okay. But I'll tell you what it is, when you live that way, I can do anything I want mentality, it's insanity. You're going to hear that word a lot. It's insanity. Now, God could exact immediate consequences if he wanted to, but he's a God of mercy, a God of grace, and he gives people time in many cases. But people think they can get away with sin and evil behavior and immorality and lies and deception, and that's just not true. But it's become the norm in our society. Anything goes. You can do anything you want. Your truth is relative. Truth is relative. What you believe, you go ahead and believe. What I believe, I'll believe. Now, that was all the introduction. Point number one. It has become normal to break God's spiritual and moral laws in our society. Number one, it has become normal to break God's spiritual and moral laws in our society. Society at large is sort of like Pilate in John chapter 18. Remember when Pilate asked, what is truth? Remember that? And you know what he did? He walked away before he got the answer. That's what society is doing. If they even ask what is truth, they walk away before they get the answer. And most people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. It starts with abortion that we talked about this morning, goes so far as to be able to tell a 4 or 5 year old child that they may not be a girl if they're a girl, or they may not be a boy if they're a boy. Lies, deception, insanity. Even some church leaders and pastors are giving in to the demands of certain sins in our culture. For church leadership to have to meet to discuss these issues, whether they should be accepted or not, is ridiculous. Because if we believe the Bible is the Word of God, which we do, the Bible's clear on the subject, it's extremely clear. There is no doubt, there's no reason at all why some church leader would say, well, I think it's perfectly acceptable for us to have gays in the clergy. A practicing homosexual should not even be allowed membership in a church, a true Bible church. Does it mean we don't love them? Of course not. It means that we cannot condone a lifestyle that is an abomination to God, no matter what. We must obey God rather than men. Yeah, but we might end up in prison one day because they've even passed a law in Canada that you cannot try to work with a homosexual or one that is trans to try to talk them out of living that lifestyle. It's a crime in Canada to do that. Did you know that? Yeah, you can't help them. sorry, truth is not welcome. Even when pastors and leaders tell people that it's okay, it causes mass confusion, so that when one that carries the truth with them tries to convince someone of the truth, they're confused because, well, how come that church over there says it's all right? Your church, you must be narrow-minded and evil and hateful and prejudiced, etc., etc., homophobic. I am a very proud homophobic. And I'm transphobic. Doesn't mean I don't love them and care about them, want them to be saved. I will not, cannot condone their lifestyle. So if that's what a description of homophobic is, then I'm one of those. And I'm transphobic. I will not accept it. I will not. How come it was wrong for almost 2,000 years after Christ? And now all of a sudden it's to be embraced and we celebrate for a whole month. Get ready. You're going to have a parade out in front of your house. You're going to put the pride flags out in front of your house the month of June to celebrate perversion. And then we wonder why we have the problems we have in our nation as our society is unraveling. We as Christians are trying to tell the truth. But people, for instance, LGBTQ, what's it called? It's called a community, correct? So what happens is all these different groups, whether it be a cult, whether it be homosexual, whether it be LGBTQ+, whether it be this group, that group, they form together, they come together, and they lean on one another. As a matter of fact, all of the protests against Israel and the Jews are many of those involved have no idea why they're out there. They're just following the group. They're part of a group. They feel connected. They feel important. I'm part of something. Many of them are kind of ostracized in society, and they get into these groups. Why do you think this trans life is kind of sweeping the country? Do you think all of a sudden, hey, I believe I'm one of those? Kids in school that are not popular and struggle to make friends because this kind of stuff is promoted beyond measure. If they come out and say, I'm trans. I remember a couple of years ago, a football player came out as gay in the locker room. And there was a standing ovation. He was a hero. That's where we're at as a nation. Perversion, if you're perverted, you're a hero. But those that are lost view us that are trying to help them as arrogant, intolerant, unloving, judgmental, exclusive, and offering nothing but bondage. But there is reality in the spiritual realm. How do I know this? Because God is the author and creator. And he's revealed it in Scripture. Truth is reality. So number one, it's become normal to break God's spiritual and moral laws in our society. Number two, there are real consequences for a society that abandons truth in favor of lies. Turn your Bible over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. We've gone through this before. This is a different approach. Some will be, of course, the same, but I want us to notice this in a different light. There are real consequences for a society that abandons truth in favor of lies. If you look at verse number 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The wrath of God. Now, there are different, we don't have the time to go through them, but there are varying categories of God's wrath. One of the categories of God's wrath is the wrath of abandonment. The wrath of abandonment. So the question is God in the process of abandoning America? Is he in the process? Are we in the midst of this judgment? of abandonment. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Ungodliness can be defined as a lack of reverence for, devotion to, and worship of the one true God. It speaks of a defective relationship. And unrighteousness. The result of ungodliness, a lack of conformity in thought, word, and deed to the character and law of Almighty God. Sounds descriptive of much of what's happening in our land. The unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word hold could be translated suppress. Would you agree that we are seeing a suppression of truth in our society? People don't want to hear it. They suppress it. Why? Because truth will expose lies. Truth exposes lies. They suppress the truth because it exposes the life they are living that dishonors God. And this is not rational. Why is it not rational? Because the wrath of God revealed is the wrath of abandonment. And the Bible says that God will pour out his wrath upon those who suppress the truth and love sin. And they do this. They suppress the spiritual and moral truth because they're motivated by their love for their sinful lifestyles. They don't like their deception and their lies exposed. They don't want people to know the ultimate result of how they live their lives. Sin always leads to death. Sin always leads to ruin. Always. You might have the pleasure of sin for a short period of time, but ultimately, there's nothing there but suffering and loss. There is some of the results of suppressing the truth and unrighteousness found in verses 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or revealed in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So God has revealed himself to all generations in creation and in conscience. And you can say, and in history. For the invisible things, which would be his divine attributes, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, or universally seen, or seen in the universe, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the power and divine nature of God should at least be somewhat understood by his creation. It doesn't take a genius to look around and say, you know what, this couldn't have just happened. This could not be the result of some big bang out in space and things start spinning around. And ultimately, here we are. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's insanity. That's lunacy. So God is saying here in verses 19 and 20, we should know better. We're without excuse. Rationality is built into us, is it not? Aren't we rational beings for the most part? We're supposed to be. We know that when we get hungry, we should eat. We're rational beings. We know that if my finger gets cut off by a chainsaw, it might be a good idea for me to go and get some medical treatment. Would you agree with that? We know that if someone's firing bullets at us, it's probably a good idea to duck. We are rational, sensible beings. We understand the cause and effect realities of the world. Reason is a chain of cause and effect reality, is it not? So if we keep following the cause back, we end up with a question, who's the ultimate cause? Right? Who's the ultimate cause? Because we believe in cause and effect. Rationality leads us back to an ultimate cause. It's irrational to say something like, nobody times nothing equals everything. Does that make sense? No, it's insanity. To say that the universe came out of nothing by accident or by a big bang is lunacy. We know that God created. You say, well, that's lunacy. God created out of nothing. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. No, because God is God. There's no other God. In 1901, scientists came up with, and this is true, that everything in the universe falls into five distinct categories. You've heard this. You learned this in school, back before they stopped teaching and started indoctrinating. Five categories: time, force, action, space, and matter. Correct? We find that in the very first verse of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Man is so proud, 1901. Hey, we got it figured out down here in the basement. We came up with the five categories, and here they are. And they said time, force, action, space, and matter. And then some little scrawny little pipsqueak in the back said, hey guys, have you ever read the Bible? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, that's time. God created, that's force. The heavens, or excuse me, created, that's action. God is force. Created is action. The heavens, that's space. And the earth, that's matter. Let me say it again. In the beginning, that's time. God, that's force. Created, that's action. The heavens, that's space. And the earth, that is matter. Genesis 1, verse number 1. We're pretty smart, aren't we? We think we've got it all figured out. You know, men used to think, if I get out in my ship and I go too far, I'm gonna go sail right off the edge of the earth. When the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 22, talking about God sitting on the circle of the earth, written 700 plus years before Christ. But we're really smart. We are. Ask us. We'll tell you. Oh, yeah. Then in verses 21 through 23, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and the implication is to God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Next, we find in these verses that though they knew God, it's not impossible not to come to this ultimate cause, because it's obvious and true that God is the cause. In all of human history, men have turned from the true God and started worshiping bugs and animals. So God said, creepy four-footed beasts and creeping things. Because bugs and four-footed beasts, they don't judge. They have no morality. They have no requirements. You worship them and they don't tell us what to do. And so many people have turned to idols, and to many, their idol is their favorite sin. Abortion for the left has become an idol, proudly displayed in their platform. Proudly, people stand and say, I want you to know we're the party of slaughtering babies, and you should be proud. The efforts to legalize sin are collective groups of people trapped in their lies and deception, trying to normalize sin. The Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they began making their own gods, making their own idols, trying to normalize what God calls an abomination. And as I stated earlier, what we're talking about here is the wrath of abandonment. I don't know about you, I don't want to be abandoned by God as a nation. He's not going to abandon me as a Christian or you. I'm talking about as a nation. We need God. We need God. In verse 24, in verse 26, in verse 28, we read that God gave them over. God gave them up, means God gave them over to. Verse 24, impurity and uncleanness. Through the lust of their own hearts. Verse 26, they rejected God in favor, exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And so God said, okay, he gave them up unto vile affections. Disgusting passions that violate the word of God. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they wanted God out. God said, okay. He gave them over to a reprobate mind, a debased mind, a depraved mind. The word depraved there means a mind that just can't think straight. So when you watch the news and some radical gets on there and says something really far-fetched and crazy, it's because they're out of their minds in sin. So you don't have to say, who could believe something like that? The one energizing it is the devil himself. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over. That's the cycle of human history. You get a chance this week, read Acts 14. People know God, and then they violate the laws of God and live in sin. They suppress the knowledge of God, and then they deny God and create their own gods matching their own lifestyles. It's human history. So number one, it's become normal to break God's spiritual and moral laws in our society. Number two, there are real consequences for a society that abandons truth in favor of lies. Number three, has God given up on America? Are we now in his wrath of abandonment? Verse 24 begins with the word wherefore, could just as accurately be translated therefore. Because of the things we've already looked at, therefore God also gave them up to impurity. How do we know when God gives up a nation? Verse 25 again, who exchanged the truth of God into a lie or for a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. We have Earth Day, but yet we don't have any special time as a nation where we have a God Day. You say, well, what about Easter? Yeah, it's for the Christian. I'm talking about for society. Is there a God Day? No, there's a throw God out day. Therefore, because they rejected the truth of God, verses 24 and 25, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. In the 60s and 70s, we had a sexual revolution. I was in school back then, graduated in 1971 from high school, and I remember the hippies and the LSD, and I didn't do any of that stuff. Good thing, because you see how I struggle now with my mental state. Imagine if I'd been on LSD or something like that. I'd be preaching from the ceiling, wouldn't I? Well, free love, free sex, playboy mentality, Hugh Hefner, his popularity soared, and now our whole culture is given over to fornication, promiscuousness. It's gotten much worse, has it not? Would you agree it's gotten worse? Verse 26 speaks of vile affections or degrading passions. This is worse. It's deeper. And it began with lesbianism because that was the beginning. Why do you know that? Because who is listed first here? Verse 26, tell me, who's listed first?
Women.
The women. The women. Remember the fight for the Equal Rights Amendment? Remember the women rising up? I'm not saying they didn't have legitimate gripes in many cases. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm just saying this, we're talking about the unraveling of our society. Lesbianism mentioned first, showing the severity of the judgment, because who has, I don't know if you could ask this question today, but I'll ask you because I know you have better sense. Who has the mothering instinct? The man? Well, yeah, if he puts a dress on and changes his pronoun. No. The woman does. The woman does. So it's more shocking. It should be more shocking that lesbianism would have been first, abandoning their mothering instinct and also rejecting, oh my, I'm getting ready to say it, hang on to your seats, rejecting the protection of the man. Man, if I said that outside, I'd be stoned to death. And you know what my wife loved? About having a husband, but among many things, one was the protection and the security. She felt secure. If a man's a man and a woman is a woman, and they understand their roles, and they're tickled to death where God put them and how God created them and what God intends for them to do, there's nothing sweeter than a godly marriage. It's a little taste of heaven on earth. That's why in Ephesians 5, it's compared to Christ's relationship to the church. That's how precious marriage is in the eyes of God. And now we throw a man with a man, a woman with a woman. And I mean, the teacher, I taught for a high school teacher several times this school year, and across the hall is, I like to call them little gay boys. And he proudly talked about his husband at home. And I wanted to vomit, but I knew the guy would have to clean it up, and that's not right. But it just makes me sick. And he's teaching our high school kids. Now, I know he's not teaching gay lifestyle. Don't misunderstand me. Seems like a nice enough guy. Really, I mean, we talk. I don't have enough time to really tell him what I want to say. And, of course, I would be rejected. It's awful to tell him the truth about his lifestyle. I mean, even the Republican Party now has accepted the homosexual lifestyle proudly. Oh, man, whatever you want to do, that's great. I'll never accept it, because God never will. And I'm not God, but God has called me. And I've got to stand for what's true and what's right and what's pure. I have to. And so do you, if you're a born-again believer. So he goes from lesbianism to verse 27, homosexuality, men with men. It's a little more than just gay marriage. We're talking about they burned in their lust one for another, kind of like the Sodomites in Genesis chapter 19 when they wanted to, the men wanted to have sex with the angels. Remember that? That appeared as men to pronounce judgment upon Sodom. Remember that? They wanted to rape angels. Notice what else is said here in verse 27. And receiving in themselves that recompense, or the penalty of their error, which was proper, which was meet. I remember when some pastors stood up and said, when AIDS came out, and I know it impacted people that were not homosexual. I understand that. Sin does that. Sin infects the quote-unquote innocent as well, right? I believe with all my heart, and I'm not ashamed to say it, that AIDS was the judgment of God upon a perverted lifestyle, as well as promiscuousness among heterosexuals as well. God wants sex within the bounds of marriage, period. Not popular. Some people say, that's impossible. That is what God wants. What we do with that truth is up to us. But that's the truth. I have to tell you that. Is it popular today? Hadn't been for decades. But it's still the truth. If a virgin woman marries a virgin man, and they are strictly together, just them, for a lifetime, how many diseases do you think they're going to get? Huh? Yeah. I think there's some truth to that. So there's been a sexual revolution. Then there was a homosexual revolution, which continues to this day. And now, of course, we have the trans revolution, and we have the DEI revolution, on and on and on and on it goes. These are signs of God's abandoning a culture when the culture embraces these perversions openly and without reservation. Verse 28 says they didn't see fit to acknowledge God. They rejected the truth of God. God gave them a reprobate or depraved, debased mind. It's a mind that does not function. Let me say it again. It's insanity. It's insanity. A man thinking he's a woman thinking he's a man. Even the American Psychological Association, who used to deem trans as an illness and homosexuality as abnormal, now they and the American Medical Association have made this a legitimate category. What is that called? That's called insanity. Recommending drugs, procedures, and surgeries even for children. That tells me their minds aren't functioning. Why? Because God gave them up. Gave them up to a depraved mind, a mind that doesn't work. So the question is, what do we do? What do we do? Now, I can go through this in, I can be done by quarter after, or we can wait till next week. Do you want the answer or not? Can you wait till quarter? I normally don't go late. You know I'm normally within 5 minutes. How many of you, you got to go right now? You got to go. Give me the quarter after. Can you do that? Huh? Lori, what do you think? Quarter after, can you do it?
No, I have to leave.
Okay.
I have an appointment.
All right. You go ahead and have at it. Anybody else have to leave? You go ahead. I need to finish this because it's silly to come back for 10 minutes. All right. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. I'll race through this like a bunny rabbit. You'll think I'm part bunny. But I want to give you the, I don't want to leave you hanging. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The deceived desperately need the truth. They need the word of God. In chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse number 3, he said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after or according to the flesh. So we're in a battle. The flesh here, he's not talking about the sinful human nature he describes in Romans 7. He's talking about the fact that we have our bodies and we have our own abilities, and they're not enough to defeat this enemy. We can't come up with some kind of program in the church that's going to fix this. Well, no rock band is going to fix this. Some kind of man-made plan is not going to fix this. We're talking about something spiritual. Get ready to start coughing again. I can feel it. Verse 4, why? Well, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh, but mighty or powerful in God for the pulling down of strongholds. The word strongholds there are fortresses. So in chapter 10, verse 3, our human efforts, again, will not do it. We cannot battle according to the flesh. We need spiritual weapons. Well, what weapons could that be? The Word of God and prayer. The Word of God and prayer. We need divinely powerful weapons for the destruction of fortresses. You know that some of the fortresses from back in Paul's day are still standing today. They're made of stone. We're not talking about paper houses here. We're talking about satanic strongholds. So we're to bring down fortresses made of stone. Wow. So spiritual war is not chasing demons. It's bringing down fortresses. No strategy we can come up with, no weapons we can come up with can battle this. We are destroying, look at verse 5, casting down imaginations or arguments in every high or lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Sounds a little bit like what we've been reading about in Romans 1, doesn't it? Exalting itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The speculations, imaginations in KJV means ideas. Could be philosophy, it could be religion, it could be psychology, or any collection of ideas. God said these fortresses are to be destroyed. The word for fortress can also be translated prison or tomb. MacArthur says this, and I quote, "So people in their identity groups, like LGBTQ, these different groups that are living a lie, and their categorical ideological sin groups are fortified and they are resistant. Their fortress becomes their prison, and their prison becomes their tomb." End of quote. So as Christians, we're to make war against the lies in which people are imprisoned. Our goal is to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Our only weapons, again, truth and the Word of God. We must know the truth, for the truth it is that sets us free, and we must boldly proclaim it. That's the answer. Stand firm on the truth. Don't be a party to those that every time the going gets tough, they like hit the trail. The going gets tough, and they get going the opposite direction. Stand firm. Don't cave in. Yeah, well, I guess it's okay if a man wants to be with a man if they're in their own house. No, it's not okay. Should we go in and invade their home and stop it? Of course not. But I don't have to like it. And I don't have to think that that's going to help our nation. Because we're diverse. Yes, we're tolerant. Being tolerant of sin is asking God to abandon us. Let's stand together for prayer. See, even earlier. Our Father, thank you for the truth of your word. We have a tremendous opportunity and also a tremendous task before us to break down fortresses by telling the truth. Not giving in to the lies and the deception and buying into the wickedness of the evil one and the mindlessness and depravity, insanity of our society. But to say, no, I'm not going along with that. I believe God. If there's one here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know for sure that when they die, they're going to heaven, I thank you, Lord, for scripture like 1 John 5:13 that says, "These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Lord, give that one the courage to come during the invitation and say, "Pastor, I don't know how to be saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die, but I want to know." So, Lord, may you be glorified and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen.